How you receive the word matters. Some people come to hear a sermon, sorry for you. You already have enough information in your head. I came this morning not just to bring a word of revelation. I've come to bring a word of deliverance. What is ailing the church today has degenerated to the state of dry bones. In many situations, many people do not believe anymore that it's still possible to live holy. We are addressing today the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is the secret of the anointing. So it's the issue of the anointing. What is killing the power of the church? We have dealt with peace, which is the key to revelation and guidance. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, let me read from verse 11, as you know how we exhorted and commanded and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus. We commanded, we exhorted, and we charged every one of you as a father would do to his children, that you will walk worthy of God, who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. God has extended mercy and grace to us, but now there is a responsibility, a charge, an exhortation, and a commandment, that we walk worthy of the Lord who has called us. That is a call to holy living. Paul said it's a charge. Paul said it's an exhortation. But it's more than an exhortation. It's an instruction. He said it's more than an instruction. He said it's a command. Holiness is not an option. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's an instruction. Verse 13. For this cause also, we thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, it's men that speak it all, but it was the word of God. He said, when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you received it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, because that's what it is. The word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Your attitude to God's word is what decides the power it will exert in your life. Because I know what I've come with this morning. I don't care how many years you have been trapped in your mess of sin. I don't care how many moons you've been trapped in it. I've come with the solution this morning. I'm not here just to take your fancy. I've come with the answer. I have come because God has also demonstrated his power in my life in these areas to set me free. If not, I will not be able to preach it. I'm talking about freedom from sexual slavery. Nothing destroys the joy of the Lord, which is the secret of the strength and the anointing of the church, like immorality. That plague today is a massive plague in the church. Pastors, laymen, elders, deacons alike. Eastern Nigeria may have some problems in the area of maybe if disagreement between brothers and brothers, not lack of submission to authority, some other issues, you know, maybe money and all that. But they have been known for sexual purity. The issue of promiscuity used to be a rare issue among the tribe. I have found out that that is a past tense. You know, when we talk about highly immoral tribe, you talk about Benue State, you talk about Benin, it's not like that anymore. I have found that it's everywhere now. We used to say Port Harcourt, you know, they are near the water. We used to say Benin because most of the ancestors worship Olokun, which was a water goddess. And most of the families, it's very hard to find a Benin family. It's a recent development. Even where you have a pastor, his family members were still worshiping this thing. Very hard to find a family where you don't have one shrine to this thing. Huh? Almost every family. With the wave of the gospel going on, it is possible today to find some who have extended the thing beyond personal deliverance to family emancipation. We used to say it's worry. Kenneth Hagin will write under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He said, whatever spirit is rampant in a society, in a city or community, we seek to enter the church. Because there will be people who will open the door. And when he enters the church, if they don't deal with it like yeast, it will seek to leaven the whole lump. When you want to level a bread, you don't need plenty of yeast. All you need is just a little inside that door. And then he sleeps with Mr. B. And because that thing is never satisfied, he will sleep with Miss A. E. Miss E will sleep with. And then, through some of that means, spiritual osmosis, it starts flowing. That was why when Achan committed that sin, God saw the potential of that yeast to affect the whole tribe. He allowed them to lose some battle. 18 people died so that the whole nation can repent and purge that leaven from their system. If God had closed his eye on Achan's sin, covetousness is a yeast. Greed is such a contagious sin. It spreads faster than AIDS. Immorality is such a contagious thing. It spreads faster than HIV. That was why, if you read Psalm 51, you see David crying, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. What took that joy away? This man that used to be a praise and worship person. This man that used to break open the veils of heaven. This man that used to steer the heart of God. What crushed the joy? Immorality. Then with that statement, he said, take not your Holy Spirit from me. I think I need to show you the relationship between the anointing and joy. Maybe if you see it, you will understand. And maybe I should also show you the relationship between immorality and the Holy Spirit. For example, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, it's peace. But when he got to joy, what did he say? He said, joy where? In the Holy Ghost. If you have read Isaiah 61, where he said, the Spirit of God is upon me, because he has anointed me. He listed what the anointing would do, 7 major things the anointing will achieve. And then he began to describe that Spirit of God coming upon him, the anointing, as the oil of joy. For what? The spirit of heaviness. You cannot be living in immorality and have the spirit of joy. What you'll be operating under is the spirit of heaviness, which is what keeps you from flying. What is holding back the potential of the church today? One of the capital causes for the lack of power in the church of today is this thing. Isaiah chapter 4. I think I would like us to stand to read that chapter. And I want you to take that chapter home, every one of us. I want to announce to you what the Holy Spirit said to me. That we are right now in the season of the latter rain. What is keeping the manifestation is operating Isaiah 4. If we want to enter the kind of power, the kind of glory that is meant for the latter house, Isaiah chapter 4 is the secret. The moment the church operates Isaiah chapter 4, we enter Isaiah chapter 60. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. That is the first thing the church needs to do. Turn to Isaiah chapter 4. There is something I want to point out now, anywhere you see it, especially in the book of Isaiah, take note of it. You will always see that prophet use a term, awake, awake. Everyone say that. That term is used in addressing two people. First, you find that term used to address God. For example, the way Moses would say it is, arise, O God, and what will happen to your enemies? They'll be scattered. So Isaiah has a way he says it. Awake, awake, O arm of the Lord. Listen to me. Because we're going to pray that prayer. Awake, awake, O arm of the Lord. What is the arm of the Lord? The power of God. What is the power of God? The power of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah asked a question. He said, are you not the one that wounded Rahab? That gave the dragon the fatal wound that he never recovered from? Now, what is now happening to your people? In other words, the man was addressing God as if God was asleep and provoking him to wake up to defend his people. Then he moves down and he says, awake, awake, O daughters of Zion. The issue is this: the hand of God does not move until the church wakes. And whenever God says, awake, awake, he's calling the church back to prayer. Awake, awake, O daughters of Zion. And lose yourself for your bond. Isaiah chapter 4. Let's read. We'll read it together. One to go. In that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we'll eat our own bread, wear our own apron. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. It shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, he that remaineth in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, even everyone that is written among the living. Stop. That even everyone that is written among the living is what you find this in a number of scriptures in the Old Testament, is what the Bible calls the one that is written in the book of life. Even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. Then verse 4. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof, by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, then the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. The kind of power that is coming upon the entire church is not this thing that we are still doing now. We are not near it yet. The Lord woke me up many nights talking to me about what he is planning to do on earth, and how that it cannot be done without vessels, and how that the vessels that should be the channels are polluted. He said it's like a plague in the land. The church is being invaded from the sea. Water spirits have invaded not just the land, but the church. What used to smell, what used to be dirty, we now swim in it. Now don't feel anyhow. Actually, from this year, times have changed, brothers and sisters. Stop looking at prophecy, because we are living in it right now. And the solution to this problem is not repentance only. Repentance cannot cure sexual sin. Many of you are repenting and falling and repenting and falling. That's why I've come to announce something to you. God gave the prescription here. He says the spirit of burning and the spirit of judgment. For some, their own judgment. They either allow God judge the sin, or the sin will judge them. I hope you know something about God and His purpose. When God has proposed something, He will get it done anyhow. When He has made up His mind that He will get something done, He knows exactly how to get it done. Even if it means breaking you, like He did to Jacob. If it means putting off your hip and you have to limp on one leg, He will have to get His purpose done. God is coming for a church, a glorious church without spot and wrinkle, and no one will stop Him from having it. In that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth. If we want to see the revival that we are waiting for, if we want to see this last harvest, the problem heaven has now is not the harvest, it's the church. The problem God has now is even the ministers. The fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that escape out of Israel. It shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy. Even everyone that is written among the living. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment, and by the spirit of burning. We have shown the Holy Spirit as a healing spirit. We have shown the Holy Spirit as a gracious person. We have forgotten that He's also a consuming fire. There is the consuming dimension of His nature. It's not always to our disadvantage. Is part of what God promised, that you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. When John the Baptist talked about it, he said the purpose of the fire is so that he can purge his garner and totally garnish it. Malachi was talking about it. He said after he had preached the sons of Levi, then they can offer a sacrifice acceptable to God. The Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion. We're talking about carrying God's presence in these last days. Upon every dwelling place. Upon every life. And then he also said upon her assemblies. Everywhere we gather. The Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion. And upon her assemblies. A cloud and smoke by day. A shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. And see the purpose of that in verse 6. Read it with me, one to go. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge, for a covert from the storms and from the rain. That means heat is coming in these last days. Storms are coming in these last days. The rains are coming in. The floods are coming in these last days. The only place of security, the only place of refuge, the only place of covering, the only place we can hide ourselves in this last hour is the secret place of the Most High, where we carry the presence of God tangibly on our lives. If not, many will become victims of the times. Lift up your hands. Pray Isaiah 4. Oh God, you have been praying for anointing. This is the bridge between where you are and where God is taking you in this last hour. This former and latter rain in the first month is what the Holy Ghost is talking about here. It will take deep cleansing. It will take a sanctifying experience to break through into that realm of unusual power. It will take a dying experience. Everything that can attract the judgment of God on your life, give it up for the Holy Ghost to judge it. Give it up for the Holy Ghost to burn it up. Invite the fire, the preaching fire of the Spirit. Invite the sanctifying power of the Spirit. You have known Him as a teacher. You have known him as a comforter. You have known him as a guide. But he is a sanctifier. Launch us into Isaiah chapter 4, Lord. Take this ministry through a cleansing process. Take this ministry through a sanctifying process. Bring us out like a pure vessel of gold. Like vessels prepared for the master's use. Fit for this present hour. Fit for your purpose in these last days. Take the ministers through this sanctifying experience. Teach us like the sons of Levi. Let us be able to offer holy sacrifices to our God. Teach our marriages. Teach our loins. Teach our personal lives. Teach the altar that have been defiled. Teach your people, oh God. Hallelujah.
Where did all this begin? Because today now, we are battling with immorality on one side in the church. We are battling with spiritual marriage on the other side. Many in the church are married to spirits. Many. They are supposed to be married to Christ. They are married to spirit. I think I need to establish the fact that spiritual marriage exists. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, this is New Testament marriage. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2. I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you. Espoused. That's what we call engaged today. I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That means that Jesus and you are married. And you can go through the New Testament and see it everywhere. In the Old Testament, you will see that the nation of Israel, look at Jeremiah chapter 31, for example. There are many scriptures I can show you on that. The nation of Israel was married to God. Look at verse 31, Jeremiah 31. Behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And now he introduces the word covenant. Anywhere you see marriage, you see covenant. Everyone say that. Say spiritual marriage and physical marriage or natural marriage are established by covenants. Never forget that. If there was no covenant, there was no marriage. In other words, if there are people in the church married to spirits who is not Christ, other spirits apart from Christ, it means that somehow they've entered into covenants with some entities without knowing what they are doing. Or some probably know what they are doing. Go back to Jeremiah 31. Behold, the days cometh, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. He's talking about this one you and I are enjoying today. And with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them. When God took the nation of Israel out of Egypt, he was wooing them like a man was wooing a woman. But when he brought them to Mount Sinai and entered into a covenant with them that day, a marriage was established, a spiritual marriage. That is why whenever Israel goes to worship other gods, God takes it like his wife is committing adultery and he can't do anything to them. If you don't know what idolatry does to God, find out what adultery does to a man where his wife is sleeping around. You don't know what adultery does to a man. His ego, his psyche, his esteem, his everything. Nothing hurts God like idolatry. That's why when you have problem with giving to God, giving to the kingdom, you have to understand what your primary problem is. It's idolatry. The Bible said in two different scriptures, in the New Testament and other scriptures in the Old, that there is only one sin equated to idol worship. The greatest sin revealed in the Bible is idol worship. It carries more weight than bloodshed. Bloodshed is a serious thing in the sight of God, but idolatry supersedes it.
There is only one other sin that God lifted to the level of idolatry. He called it covetousness, greed, the love of money. He said, no, I don't have the love of money. That's how a gentleman came to Christ. What will I do to be saved? He was a young, rich man, young and rich. He said, do you know what is written in the commandments? He said, the guy took over from Christ and read for him, thou shalt not come, have any other God before me, read everything down and said, all these have I kept for my youth. All this have I kept from my youth. And Jesus said, you mean you've kept all of them? You've never broken one? He said, yes. It's okay. Let's test you on the first. Sell all that you have. Give it away to the poor. Come and follow me. The guy got angry on the spot because the man just touched his God. He just tested him on the first one. Thou shalt not have any other God. He said, let's see. Because there is only one other thing, apart from literal idols and all these other things, that has the ability to drive God away from a man's heart, is mammon. Jesus said you cannot serve those two masters, because two of them are masters. It's only when a demand is made on your substance that you will know how loyal you are to mammon or not. Many of us who are talking went through the same battle to free ourselves from the hold of mammon, because you don't have to be rich to be bound by it. That's why everywhere in the New Testament, when Paul makes a list of sin, he gets to covetousness. He says, which is what? Idolatry. The one that worships on the altar of gold, and the one that worships on one idol temple in the village, inside one bush, are the same. Amazingly, if you have noticed throughout the Bible, look at Mount Sinai experience. The man was on top of the mountain, Moses, receiving the commandments from God. He stayed 40 days there. 40 days. Pastor was not in church. 40 days. The people had turned back to mammon as their God. Right there at the foot of the mountain, the first thing God wrote on that table, that's what they were breaking down. I have found out what mammon will not allow you to give to God. It will encourage you to give to other causes. Covenant and marriage are equated. So if you get that one, you have a good platform. There are three words. The first is covenant. Anywhere you see covenant, there is marriage. The second is marriage. You see covenant, you see marriage. If you see marriage, you see covenant. Can I take you to the third level? The third is sex. Anywhere you see sex, you've seen covenant. And anywhere you see sex, you've seen a bond. Of all the sins listed in the Bible, sexual sin stands alone. Come, let me make this illustration. Everyone here stand. On this side. Everyone, just stand. If all of these are list of sins in the Bible, there is one sin out of the whole list that stood out on its own. It's not like all the other things. You see, in reference, listen very carefully. This particular sin stands alone on its own. It's not like the other ones. When you commit the other things, there are consequences that come with them. But what this particular sin does to you, of all the sins listed in the Bible, this is the hardest to break. This is the hardest to stop. Of all the sins listed in the Bible, this is the one God never said resist. He said flee from it. Of course, he said the same thing concerning idolatry. Of all the sins listed in the Bible, not one of them functions as a yeast, has the power to leaven a lump, to leaven a congregation, to level a society like this sin. Why is sexual sin such a unique sin? I will tell you why. You may be seated. I will tell you why. The reason is very simple. It is connected to covenant. The moment you do it, you cut a covenant with who you have done it with, making it now not something you can just walk away from and think you are free. You can, the moment you sleep with somebody, with a woman who slept with a man, you walk away, You are not away. It's like a man who just married a wife. You can travel to the village. Your wife can be in Lagos. It doesn't mean anything. The people are tied. They are tied. Secondly, it's not just that it leads to covenant between the two people, but that it leads to exchange of everything that they are carrying. The sexual system, the way it was designed by God, is such that if I give you my body in sex and you give me yours, I empty everything I have into you and you empty your own into me. You know, when we talk about impartation of the anointing and all that, it releases everything this one has and you collect everything this other person has. We know about it already in the physical, biological, medical sense. For example, the exchange of diseases, and if the man has syphilis and you have gonorrhea, you just exchange it. And in exchanging it, it doesn't stop you from having it. It's just that I upgrade my own to syphilis plus gonorrhea, and you will upgrade your own to gonorrhea plus syphilis. Then if you had HIV and I just had these two, then what I would do is I upgrade your own to the two level I have while you upgrade me to your HIV status. And that is exactly what it does to the entities in the temple, because man was designed as a house. Man was not designed to be empty. He was designed to be occupied. As you see yourself, this your body you see, this body you see is a house built first for the Holy Spirit to dwell in. From the deathless past, from eternity past to eternity to come, the Holy Spirit will never get a physical body except that which God gets for him through man. The Bible said that by creation, that the body was not just created for us, it was created for the Lord. The reason is because this entity called man is not such an entity that should just go on operating on his own. It's a dominion creature that God created. It's a very dangerous creature. So God made it in such a way that he will be involved in the control and the regulation of this being. So when he created him, he made enough space for both the spirit man and himself, for two of them to dwell together in this being as they steer the steering towards the man's destiny. Or that creature becomes dangerous, not only to himself, but to his generation. You know, when men are creating robots these days, and after creating, we put microchips in them that enables the manufacturer or the owner to be able to control this thing. Some of those robots, when they malfunction, have killed the people who own them. Some will go and do some things and end up destroying themselves. Some are so created that they are human, they look like human beings. Meanwhile, inside they are machines. But if you see them, if you are not told, you wouldn't know. You know, you see all those robots with joints moving like this. There are some they've now made that look like human beings. With skin, with hair, everything. And dresses in suit and walks out. But it's not human. But it's made by man. And some of them, after making them, the manufacturers will take time to program their brain, the computer system that governs that thing, program his own mind, his own thoughts into that thing, so that when he talks to it, he responds in a certain way. And not all robots you control with remote. Some you just talk to them. Even your cars these days, there are cars now you talk to, it opens. There are cars you just touch, it opens. It starts. That was why David was writing in Psalm 139. He said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Can we turn to it? I think I should show you something there. If you get it, let me read that verse. You have to understand something about your design and your makeup. You are a spirit being that is living in a house that God made out of dust. And you a spirit being with a computer system called the soul that has ability to perform emotional function, perform intellectual functions. And at the same time, this spirit being is living in a house. This house you live in, the way you manage it can get you into serious trouble or get you victory in this work. Let me show you something. I'm reading from verse 14. If you read from verse 13, you will even see something else. For thou hast possessed my reins. You see, God created man for God to live in.
According to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he said, chapter 6, he said, the body is not for fornication. The body is for the Lord. He even said that body is not for meat. That means the food we eat is just to sustain the life of the flesh. But that's not the purpose for the creation of the body. It's a house. And I want to explain something. Because you can bring an armed robber into your house. You are the one that opened the door, invited him to come and live with you. You can bring a ritual mother into your house. Just the fact that some people have invited water spirit possessed girls or, you know, occult motivated girls into their house in form of a maid. Some people have lost all their children just like that. Some have paid terrible price. That is a minor one. How much more when you invite in and give a person right of occupancy in your house as your partner? You see what makes sex dangerous? When you commit it, you exchange content. Some ladies have slept with politicians or rich men they met. They are church people, though. But they slept with them because they are rich. What he didn't know is that that politician slept with a mad woman in a graveyard in order to get the money or the wealth. Now, see what happened. When you slept with him, you collected everything. You see, in sex, when you sleep with a person, you not only sleep with that person, you sleep with everybody that person has slept with. Let's read that first. Thou hast possessed me, possessed my reign, and hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in the secret. Curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. It's people like Pastor Mike who studied medicine. They're there with cadaver. The ones who will appreciate this a little further. I had some of my kids tell me stories about this because, you know, I go to the casualty ward to pray for people who have had accidents and all that. But those ones are at least still alive. And even when they die, they are still fresh. It's still easy to deal with it. But you see them take human beings, people who are dead that were not claimed. After they leave them for a while in the teaching hospital or mortuaries, they transfer them to the teaching hospital. They become instruments for experiments. Doctors now use them to learn how to treat living people. And then one of them was telling me, I used to interview him a lot in the medical school. I was fascinated. Because of the healing ministry, I was fascinated with what they were being taught. And if you go to my library, you see a section for medicine. You know what they'll tell you? Sometimes they cut open a carcass, a cadaver. Maggots are coming out. Did you ever meet maggots? Then they caught other ones that were well preserved. There are even some, a lady was telling me that they caught blood come out. And this is when people faint in the cadaver room. You see, sisters especially. Of course, my cousin, because she fainted. When I finally got, he said, blood in my head. I'm seeing blood. I don't know if I should go back to this course, Pastor. That's first year student. But you know, when they hang around it, it becomes like nothing. They cut it like wood, like leather, like bread, and it doesn't mean anything. I mean, tell me something about cutting cadaver. Did he used to frighten you after a while?
No, it's my listening lesson. It's my best listening lesson.
Your best part. When I was talking with him once in any where he wants to spend, he said he likes practical things, operation, that surgery, medical surgery. That all these abstract things, what is wrong with your liver? That one, where is it? Let's cut it. There is a program Discovery Channel or Reality Channel where they take camera to teaching hospitals. They open up people. They are doing operation. They put it there. They bring out all the intestines. Sometimes you see, so they bring somebody's heart. You see the thing pumping. Blood everywhere. They use cotton wool. Take away some. And then when they cut a nerve or a tendon or what do you call it? The blood vessels. Blood is pumping and spilling everywhere. You know, those doctors on their white. They use a welding machine. Is it a welding machine? Something with fire. A welding machine. A welding. The place will be smelling. You see smoke.
Once I was watching this and I said, oh my God, please don't ever let me experience this. If you live out this life and God gives you health, let me say it in another way. Every year, every 12 months you live healthy, when Thanksgiving come that year, understand what you are going to do. Do Thanksgiving, my friends. Every 12 months you live, no accident. When Thanksgiving comes, every 12 months of every year you live, understand. I will praise the Lord fearfully and wonderfully, amen. That I did see my substance, verse 16, yet being imperfect, when I was still growing like a zygote, in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Then verse, that's your members, all the organs, all the cells, all the tendons, all the nerves. They said accumulation of cells make up tissues, networking of tissues make up organs, networking of organs make up systems, and the networking of different systems make up the human body. If you just take out one system and knock it down, the whole body dies. Just take something like the excretory system. Nothing is wrong with the digestive system. You can still eat food. But just that you can't get the poisons out. The excretors out. Then all of a sudden the stomach starts swelling. All that kind of dangerous things start happening. All you need to do is just collapse the kidney, one of the organs in that system. And yet all these systems are functioning all at the same time. And there is nothing like stopping for servicing. 1 whole year goes, 10 years goes, 30 years goes. Even oil refinery cannot function that long. You will need to stop and service. 30 years goes, 60 years goes, 70 years goes. And do you know the amazing thing? If Adam allowed God and him to be living in that body was supposed to be living forever. One of the purpose for God living in the body is for vitalizing that mortal body. But even in the absence of God, unbelievers, natural people, live 70, 80. And some have pushed themselves up to 120. Let's look a little at human anatomy. Let's look at the woman first. The woman was designed by God, since all the members are written in his book. In other words, nothing was done without a reason. Everything. You know, God is a God of purpose and objectivity. God did not design anything without a reason. In designing the woman, he designed that product and sealed her up. Allowed her just enough opening to urinate. And when God was sealing the woman up, in other words, this product, before anybody takes advantage of it, you have to open it first. One of our pastors here got married for more than 6 months. Nothing could go on. No opening could take place. Of course, when the report came to us, we had to ask them to go to a medical doctor. It took an operation for them to begin to enjoy sexual intercourse. But normally God did not mean that you will have to get to, but some of the membrane for sealing were thicker than others. But what exactly is that membrane made of? The Bible, let's leave the Bible. What is it made of in medicine, in science?
It's actually an overlaying of skin that is alive. Overlaying of skin that is alive. It has blood vessels and everything inside. They call it hymen.
They call it hymen. What they said is that thing is a membrane, it's flesh, but it's filled with plenty of blood vessels. It's actually a blood membrane. If you cut it a little, blood starts flowing. If you smash it, blood starts flowing. Oh God, why will you make a product, create a carton, cover it, and then place a seal where the product will be opened? Can you imagine orange juice. That each time you open it, blood flows and blood mixes with your orange and you have to drink blood. You know how disgusting it is. You know, recently I noticed that young people mock at young teenagers for keeping their virginity. They mock at them in secondary school, girls' schools. You see girls making fun of it, that even the ones who are keeping start wondering what is wrong with me. I've had questions asked me as a pastor by some of our teenagers in the church. They'll come and ask me, is anything wrong with me? Is anything wrong with me? I said, what do you mean by is anything wrong with me? He said, is it wrong to be a virgin? I said, what? Are you not born again? He said, pastor, you don't understand. They start telling you what they are going through. In the hands of boys, in the hands of fellow girls. And even some of them that are in the church. They now tease them and make fun of them as if they're Jew girls, as if they don't know anything. Now the question is, the medical science understands the body. The psychologists try to understand the soul. The problem is they don't understand the occupant of the house. All they are studying is the house, not knowing the landlord in the house. Man is a spirit. The spirit is the landlord. All these other things we are dealing with in medicine is just the house where the man lives. The mechanic is working on the car but doesn't know the owner of the car. It is that landlord that lives when the body dies. When the covenant that keeps the body and the inward man together is broken and the silver cord is cut, the spirit will have to proceed to the next world. So, in science, we have understood things like some of the medical things that are going on in the body. Just like some mechanics have understood the car. So they deal with it. You go to psychiatry. And in psychology, they are trying to understand human behavior, the mind, the psyche, the way, why we act the way we act, how things like abuse, things like rejection affect human behavior. So they treat man as a mind and as a body. And that is the greatest mistake anybody can ever make. Anytime you open a human being, the real man is inside looking at what is going on. If you make a mistake, destroy the car, he leaves. He's helpless. He has to go. Then what happens is that you start shaking the same body you are trying to treat. The heart is no more beating. You shake the liver that is supposed to be, it's no more working. You shake everything. Why is it not working now? What is wrong with it? Whenever the spirit leaves, what you have is mere carcass. That's why Paul prayed and said, may the Lord God sanctify you wholly. Sanctification must be total. He said, may your spirit, may your soul, your whole spirit, he said, your whole soul, both your mind, your emotion, your will, and your whole body be preserved blameless. Be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus returns, he wants to see your spirit unspotted by anything. He wants to see your soul undefiled by any sin. He wants to meet your body clothed in white garments. The question many of them who are doctors don't even have the answer to is, why will you make a bottle of Coke and use blood to cover, to make the seal, the cork? Why is it that every time I have to open a Coke, I'm filled with blood, bloody mess around me? Why must I drink blood just to drink Coke? God was trying to let us know something, that sex is covenant. To enter a woman, you cut covenant with her. And the soul, if you want to know the wire, the button you touch, you reach a man's soul, is the blood. The soul is in the blood. But let's stop there for a while. Let's go to the man. Just watch this. Soul. You look at the male anatomy. The process of intercourse It's a way it happens to a man. When a man is aroused sexually, he gets what is called an erection. What is an erection? What makes his manhood to get erected? The medical science have also explained to us that what happens is that the moment arousal takes place, blood rushes. Everyone say blood rushes to the penis and fills up all the way the penis is designed. It's like a sponge. Have you seen some of these sponges they used to bath babies? You know, those ones made of foam. Yeah. So when you get a sponge dry, it's just like, but there are different openings where things, fluids can fill up. So when you put it in water, it starts soaking up the water and it can soak up all the water. But when it's filled up, any extra thing you put in discharges out. Blood vessels are wired everywhere. And then all of a sudden, blood starts rushing. And man has been designed that way. Everything, pump blood, pump blood, pump blood. Covenant is needed. We need blood versus blood. We need blood and blood contact. And everywhere is filled up with blood, and then the man is ready. You look at human anatomy, the woman, the anatomy of the woman. Because it would have been limiting if it is only the first man that sleeps with a woman that makes covenant. That would have been okay. Then some men will tell you, the one I've been sleeping with, Alice, I'm not the one that is responsible, or because, you know, other people have opened the gate, so we are just passing. But whenever she's aroused again, sexually, the same thing that happens to a man's penis, because a woman too has what the man has, but her own is designed in a different way. That's why female circumcision is not permitted in the Bible, and not permitted by God. Because female circumcision is like rendering the woman useless when it comes to the issue of sex. She has no right anymore to enjoy sex. All you are saying is let the man enjoy sex. Let the woman not have any. Let her just be like a thing for men to use. Women have penis. Their own is called the clitoris. It's designed differently. It's the place where skin rubs on skin. And her skin charged with blood. The man's skin charged with blood. And God says skin versus skin. Blood versus blood. Until the souls mingle together. Let me show you a scripture. You cannot have sex and not be tied by cords. That cord is what is called soul tie. Okay, let me show you something. Genesis chapter 35. Genesis 34 verse 1. Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, this is one of Jacob's daughters that slept with a man outside the covenant. The daughter of Leah, whom she had born to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. Because who your friends are matters. She had girlfriends from that place. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and violated her. Verse 3, and his soul was strongly attached to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the young woman and spake kindly to the young woman. What he had with her was sex, but after that, what happened? His soul was strongly attached. Some of that translation renders it a little different. You have any other different rendering? English? His soul clung to Dinah. Any other rendering? Eh? His soul clave. This is why the two people can travel. Ooh. Somebody gives the light to God. He says, I went to go and preach to my, you know, like a lady was talking to me in Lagos. One of the leaders of a campus fellowship in Eastern Nigeria. She's come over here for, and she was talking to me because she's gone for abortion. This was her fourth one. And she's suffering from a damage right now. And going through a terrible pain. And she needed healing. And so she tells me. She gets herself into this mess the first time. And goes through abortion. And of course the guy abandons her. And is dating another lady. And was engaged to another lady and was talking about marrying her. And so she goes through all the hurts, all the shattering experience, all the wounds. Then she said she went down to pick her result. In getting to there to pick her resort, she decided to go and see the guy, to tell the guy that she has forgiven him all. And she gets there, and the next one happens, and she gets pregnant for him again, and she gets abandoned the second time, and she rushes back, and then her parents didn't know. She goes through abortion the second time. And he said this time, the pain and the hurt, because not even a cobble was contributed by the guy. He called the guy even for money. He said, that's your business. And I'm talking about born again people. And finally, she goes the third time, gets pregnant for him, and does abortion. And then this time around, youth service time has come. I have to go and pick up my call up. And she goes there to pick up her call up. And she told herself, no way, how can I, this man is a beast, this, da, 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 da. And she gets there, after picking up her call up, she decides to go and see him. And when she gets there to see him, next one, and I don't know why, she gets pregnant again. She knows that she's hurting. She has hurt herself many times. She's hurt that the guy is engaged. The guy has told her, I'm not going to marry you. There is nothing. Why is she still going? Everyone says, so tired. Why are people going through this thing, falling and rising, repeating the same experience? You don't get out of this bondage by just repenting. You have to deal with the covenants you have cut. What is going on today on earth is that people are going about cutting blood covenants without knowing what they are doing. They cut with Ada, they cut with Obi, they cut with Malam Nasa, they cut with this. And then the Bible says something, that a person that is committing adultery scattered their own soul, destroys their own soul. It gets to a point, your sexual control is destroyed. The walls are so broken that anywhere, anytime, all you take is a little excitement, you have yielded. I hear people who tell, confess it. They say, I can't even. One particular lady, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, once a man has an erection, I can't say no. I can't, I don't know. She has so prostituted her loin that all the walls have collapsed totally. Because she's married to so many men. And it's not just to so many men. Because the man that sleeps with her, sleeps with all those men. And all the things they've deposited in her, that man collects them with one intercourse. I have found that our repentance is not genuine unless it's based on accurate knowledge. If not, God would have just said, repent, and that would be enough. But why did he send us to preach the gospel? To point sin out, then to call men to repentance, until you know the gravity of the matter. Most of the time, you are making confession, but you have not changed your mind. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Help me find that verse about Jonathan and David. After he has killed Goliath, finished talking with Saul, the son of Jonathan was near to the soul of David. Verse 3 said, Jonathan and David made a covenant. Verse 1 said, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And verse 3 said, and Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garment, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. In normal covenant, there is giving and receiving. There is exchange. In the covenant that sex establishes, the same thing happens. Note here that covenant binds two people, binds two souls together. But it's not just that. It also led to exchange. And let them have dominion. The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is advancement
because
of the
kingdom. Because faith must be backed by
the assignment of this ministry is found from that verse.
You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogweli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavenlies.
I have found that our repentance is not genuine unless it's based on accurate knowledge. If not, God would have just said, repent, and that would be enough. But why did he send us to preach the gospel? To point sin out, then to call men to repentance, until you know the gravity of the matter. Most of the time, you are making confession, but you have not changed your mind. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Help me find that verse about Jonathan and David. After he has killed Goliath, finished talking with Saul, the son of Jonathan was near to the soul of David. Verse 1 said, and it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was near with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And verse 3 said, and Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garment, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. In normal covenant, there is giving and receiving. There is exchange. In the covenant that sex establishes, the same thing happens. Note here that covenant binds two people, binds two souls together. But it's not just that. It also led to exchange. Then I want to show you a scripture. Proverbs chapter 5. Look at verse 22. Oh. Let me read from verse 20. Why would thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth at his going. Look at verse 22. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be held with the cords. Cords. Until these things are addressed and broken. Cords. People don't get free from this enslavement. Cords. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be held with the cords of his own sin, and he shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. This thing will lead a person astray. I have seen that nothing corrupts wisdom, nothing corrupts vision, nothing corrupts revelation like immorality. There's a scripture I want to quote. Many people, I didn't understand that scripture for many years until I understood something later. It was 1 Kings chapter 11 where the Bible said that those nations that God warned Israel not to meddle with their women, you know, today is unbelievers, that Solomon clave unto them in love. Those women for Moab, for all that. I wanted to know how come this man just falls in love with the wrong people? And then I came across a document and I was studying. Solomon had a son in Ethiopia. He established a dynasty. The queen of Ethiopia paid Solomon a visit and got pregnant for him before leaving, and later gave birth to the son in her own country, and a dynasty. And they actually called themselves that they are from the tribe of Judah. Have you heard about, is it Helesi? And the lion of the tribe of Judah, that's what he calls himself. They ended up building a replica of Solomon's temple in Ethiopia and brought all the replicas of all the things in the temple of God, and they began to worship the God of Israel. The woman removed idolatry for her nation, and they began to worship the God of Israel. And they were told that three times in a year you must appear before God in Jerusalem. And they began to make pilgrimage. As at the time of Ethiopian Enoch, you are reading about in the book of Acts chapter 8,
where the Bible said that Enoch went to Jerusalem for one of those feasts and was going back. He was reading the book of Isaiah. Then God told Philip to go and join the chariot. That thing started as far back as the time of Solomon in the Old Testament, when the woman brought in the worship of Jehovah to her own country. But also something has happened. She has slept with Solomon. And she had a baby for him. And they established an extension of the tribe of Judah, because Solomon is David's descendant in Ethiopia. And with that and a number of other things that happened when they had their persecutions, there is a lineage of Ethiopian Jews. And some of them are black Jews. So I wanted to know what happened. What actually happened is that Solomon sees these women, is attracted. He sleeps with them. After sleeping with them, he is bound to them. Next thing, they bring their idols, bring their gods. He can't say anything. The man that was an epitome of wisdom, who was wiser than all the men on earth, the moment he sleeps with them and enters into covenant and soul tie, his wisdom became corrupt. It kept happening that they kept building their idols, kept bringing it, importing it. This is the man that initially would not allow any of his wives to near the city of David, nor near the temple. It wasn't long, they started bringing it into the city of David. It wasn't long, they brought it right inside the temple. That you walk into that temple that Solomon built for God, in some of the courts, like the outer court and the holy place, you see some different idols made for different gods of different nations. I'm not talking about in the country now, I'm talking about right inside the temple. It was at that time that God took an oath. The same way those demons not only entered the nation, but they entered the temple. That's how demonic powers, whosoever you cut covenant with, sex cuts covenant, but that is not even the last reason why God warns against immorality. The reason is that whatever demon, whatever God, whatever power that individual is in relationship with, when you cut covenant with that individual, you hook up to those powers. This is how spiritual marriage is primarily established. It's either by blood covenant which people made with some form of water spirits or some form of deities or demon powers in the name of blood sacrifices and all this blood match, which is the same thing, or they made it through sexual intercourse. Whether you do it through sex or do it by surrendering your hand to be marked and blood flows, you have just done the same thing. If I tell any of you now, you to come to a native doctor, we need some of your blood to mix with Olokun so that you enter into a covenant with Olokun, you will not try it because you understand the implication of it. Why is this sin rampant in the church today? Let me read a scripture for you. Any man that is committing immorality lacks understanding. The understanding they lack is what I'm explaining to you now. And until the proper revelation is God, the deliverance is not in view. Listen to me. Deliverance has some technical issues to it. One of them is that deliverance is 70% knowledge and less than 30% power. Did you hear what I just said? He said, you shall know the truth and what shall happen? And the truth shall make you free. Then he said, my people go into captivity, bondage. Why? Because they lack knowledge. So deliverance is more of truth encounter than power encounter. You can fall under the power, wriggle, manifest, shake. Next day you are back in the same, next day you are back in the same problem. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 27, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals
and his feet not be burned. Just see how God is describing sexual sin. The problem is that you don't even know what is burning, how it burns people. That's why people are rushing into it. So he that goeth to his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he hunger. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his heart. Look at verse 32. Whosoever committed adultery with a woman does what? Lacketh understanding. There is something that person lacks. Bible says he lacketh what? Understanding. He said, he that doeth it does what? Destroyeth his own soul. Verse 33. What will he get? Wounds and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. So it's not something you treat lightly and think, I just went to the altar and shed some tears. You think you have just wiped it. Let me ask you a question. When God wanted a covenant with Abraham, he explained to him the nature of that covenant, that it will be a perpetual covenant. That the covenant will not just tie him, Abraham, it will tie all of his descendants to 1,000,000,000 generations. He says, so the obligations of this covenant ties you, ties your descendant. And then he said, Abraham, that is why I'm about to give you an instruction that is very tough. But you have understood why. Abraham said, what is the instruction? He said, my covenant with you will not be in hand, cut hand and joint blood. Mm-mm. It will not be cut mark on the head. Mm-mm. He said, the mark will be on your foreskin. Bring out your sexual organ and cut it round. Circumcise yourself. Abraham said, Lord, do you want to kill me? Do you know what you are asking me to do? He said, that is the only term for this agreement. If I just want it to be between me and you, you can cut any part. It's blood that we need. But because I want this to transfer to your children, the anointing must be following all your children from generation to generation. I want the covenant to be with, in your sexual organ. That is why that thing is still pursuing Israel, even when they think they want to run away from it. I want to announce to you, brothers and sisters, the battle for sexual purity is not a personal issue. If you lose that battle, you see those, your daughters. You see, I see pastors' kids. Yesterday, as I was leaving, I was, you know, pretty girls, you know, even as babies, you can see how pretty they are. You see the young men, the pastors' kids that are being born, and some of you are engaged, you will soon be having your own kid. Let me give you something now. You see those, your kids. You see those, your kids. Some of them, so what you are doing as an adult, they will start in primary school. Some of them, what you are doing now as a grown-up man, they will start in secondary school. A young man came to me and was crying. He's born again. He's a pastor. He's pastoring in Lagos here. They raped his daughter. She just passed her exams into secondary school and just got admission and got into, not up to 1 year in secondary school. Whether she was even 14 or 15, just around that. She followed some of her friends out. They raped her and all that, and she came home because it was her first. He said, I'm a pastor, but I'm tempted to commit murder. He said, I'm talking to you now because even now, don't tell me that forgive all, because it's not going to be easy. I've preached that into other people. That's what you pastors just tell people. Tell me something now, because I'm about to commit murder. I said, how? He said, I've bought a gun. I said, why? Why is it so much that you are about to commit murder because of this thing? He said, because they've taken the girl for test and they detected certain infection. So they calmed down and thought, you know, started to take her with antibiotics until later. He took her for another test. She was HIV positive. He said, when she was just raped, I had not even forgiven. And now, no. And I bent down. I didn't know, because he has already warned me not to say anything about forgiving. And I bent down my head. And I was thinking, oh God, why did you send a person like this who is not ready to hear about forgiveness to me? Then what else am I supposed to tell him now? He said he's a young pastor and he has bought gun. What am I supposed to tell him? So something came to my mind and I started sharing with him about family tree. When I started sharing, in my own head, I thought I was talking to him about his lineage. Maybe his father's did something or whatever. But the moment I hit on something, he said, stop, pastor. Hey! I said, what is it? He said, when I was in the university, I raped a young Christian girl and she was a virgin. He boasted with his friends that he can get that girl. And he made a number of attempts, and the girl was such a serious Christian Union attending Christian young girl. His ego was so bruised. After a while, an idea came to his mind to take it by force. So he did. The moment he said that, I paused. I wanted to know if I have got a point in. I saw he was still angry. I said, but what did you just tell me? Can't you see? That years you gave your life to Christ and you are now a pastor. But the seed, because you did not experience purification, you carried that and passed it to your descendant. I said, the one that needs to go and repent and apologize to that girl is not the guy, it's you. He said, how can I go and be telling the girl that kind of thing? I said, but that's the truth. So you now know how the problem started. You can now ask me for the solution, because this might not be the last. You know, the laws of God are no respecter of persons, whether you are a pastor or not. Sleeping with members, sleeping around and preaching. When I came to Lagos, I went to an office for a purpose. And when I got there, something happened that opened my eyes to the level the church has degenerated. There is a ministry that has an office with a lot of staff, and there were many. And they have a standing policy written on paper. And I was even shocked, because the man wanted to show me something. It was written on paper. If you're a girl, you're going to work there, you sign it. You sign it. That, which is something somebody can use to prosecute him tomorrow. But he said nothing, because he keeps all the papers. He has not seen anything. Anyway, what do you sign? It doesn't matter what happens here in terms of all this kind of abuses. It's not an issue. It's part of the system. Are you agreeing to work? Yes. You sign.
They pay you. And so, while I was there talking with another person who came, we were discussing why I see the person I came to see. He walks in and he was just touching one of his staff anyhow. And what got me angry is, even if you wanted to do that, why not at least respect the guy? And the girl did have face like this, because even if he's a harlot, in the presence of those visitors, I now realize that we are being invaded. Believe me, the church in Nigeria today needs a purifying experience. And unless we get that, this promise of what God will do with the church in this nation will remain a prophecy. This thing has sat on the potential of the church and crippled it. For many of you now, where you're operating is not where you should be now. There's a veil covering your greatness. It's not a demonic veil from some space. It's a veil that immorality has cast on your anointing. So I found that it is not how anointed you are that will determine what you can accomplish or what God will accomplish with you. It is how consecrated you are. Because you might be carrying an anointing that is functioning at 2% level. I want to lead us through some serious prayers of deliverance. But just before I do, the Holy Spirit is still telling me, because we are going to have an exposure to the Holy Spirit this night like we have not known before. But if we don't get this thing right, we'll spend this night again doing it again. Where did this sexual pollution start? I want to explain something to you. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 6 that when men began to multiply on the earth, daughters were born unto them. And the sons of God, can we turn to it? Genesis chapter 6. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men. That they were fair. So they took them wives of all which they chose. And verse 3 said, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. For that reason, because his flesh, yet his days shall be 120. This thing shortened man's lifespan down to 120 years. Even after the fall, man could still live up to 1,000 years, 900 years. Verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. Why? Because after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man that was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he has made man on the earth. And he grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast. Immorality led to a wave of yeast that polluted the whole of human race to the point that God regretted creating man at all. And that led to the destruction of the world of Noah with flood. Now again, as we are reaching the conclusion of this age, this same invasion is taking place again on earth. It's not that they stopped since the time of the flood, but that they are coming at such a massive, at such a monumental rate. And you know, you have sometimes find theologians who are arguing about the sons of God, whether they were human beings or, you know, they were two races or that kind of thing. That is just confusing themselves. I said this book is a book of revelation. If you don't want to see with the eye of the Spirit, sorry for you. If you read the book of Job chapter 1, for example, verse 8, he said, and the sons of God gathered themselves to present themselves before God, and Satan came in among them. He was talking about angels. You go down where he was talking about creation, even before man appeared on the scene, that when God laid the foundation of the earth, when he was creating the galaxies, that the sons of God sang for joy. Were you there when he was creating the earth? Were you there when he was making the stars? Who are those sons of God he was talking about? Who saw the daughters of men? Angels. They took them wives, such as they would. And if you have read Mark 12, you will know that God said that angels are not allowed to marry. But they did it and had children. And today, spirit marriage also results in spirit children. And you see some people, they can't have any child at all physically. But in the night when they sleep, they see four kids who call them mommy. They see somebody who comes and tells them that he's their husband. Let me show you something in Jude chapter 1. I will leave it here for just now. But this is important. This is important. This thing that destroyed the world of Noah is what will destroy this earth again. We already see, we see it, we hear of what is going on in Europe now, in US, even in the church now, that homosexuals are getting married and all of those things. But just watch Jude chapter 1. If you want to know what happened in the time of Noah, whether they were human beings that were the sons of God or angels, just listen to Jude chapter 1 verse 6. The angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he had reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Why is it that God didn't allow this group of angels that did this thing to be wandering about? The world would have been destroyed many times more if they were allowed. God tied all of them in a special chain. In other words, not all the demons are moving around. They are tied in chains, reserved until the end times, until the time of judgment. Now, when you read the Bible again, the Bible explains that in the last days, there will be three release of demons tied in chains. Three set of release. Three group of demons, a group tied in River Euphrates will be released. A group tied in the bottomless pit will be released. And another group will be released. That means for all of these thousands of years the earth has been here, human population has been exploding. These demons have not been permitted to operate here. But in these last days, they will have to. Just before they go into judgment, they are sentenced finally. If you check the tide of evil, the way it's rising in society, you realize that there are new reinforcement on the earth. of satanic beings. The most amazing thing about it all is that the things that used to be vulgar, the things that human beings will frown at, even mothers, even parents are now celebrating it. You see them dancing makosa, little kids. The mothers will sit down, be nodding, yeah, I'll be drinking more, it's better, but yes. Do it, baby. Where did makosa come from? In church now, we now dance it. It's not that the standard is lowered among unbelievers. It is lowered everywhere in the church, even for parents and all that. They say, it's the time, oh, it's the time we're living in. This is the 21st century. To allow the young people to enjoy themselves. Do you know the price they are paying for it? Pastor said, I travels on campus mission, goes from campus to campus. She will come back sometimes for days. She is amazed. I said, what is it? He said, Pastor, the age 15, 16, are sleeping with men. Some are sleeping with four men, seven men. Some are sleeping with their fathers. Some are sleeping with uncles, daddies. And it's multiple. And they are born again in different fellowships. Some have done abortion 16 times, 9 times. And they are talking in tongues. And as they are talking to you, they are leading praise and worship in church. They are leading this. And they are still in relationship with not just even one man. He has one elderly man. He has one young one in fellowship. He has another young one in the town when he goes on holiday. He has another one who supplies the money. Listen to this. The angels that kept not their first estate. And I just need to read this so that if you know, if God can, immorality can destroy angels, it can destroy you. If God can deal with angels for this thing, don't think he will ignore your own. Anyway, the angels that kept not their first estate, he has reserved unto chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Verse 7. Watch. We want to know the sin that destroyed these angels. Verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities that are about them in like manner. Everyone say in like manner. So what these angels did, that's what Sodom and Gomorrah did. I want to find out what exactly they did. In like manner. These cities follow the pattern of these angels. But in like manner, watch this. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, in like manner, giving themselves over to what? Eh? The first one was not homosexuality or lesbianism. They started somewhere and graduated there. Sodom and Gomorrah did not start with being homosexuals or being lesbians. Even as these cities gave themselves over to fornication, and then they graduated to going after strange flesh. And set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also, these filthy dreamers defy the flesh. There are people that are rising in the church now who think that there is no judgment for this. They defy the flesh. They despise authorities. They speak evil of authorities. Please read verse 3 with me. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Something is fighting to eliminate the faith of the church. God said, defend the faith. Contend for the faith. Then he tells us why he's giving us this instruction. Look at verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into what? Lascivious. What is lasciviousness? Unquenchable passion for immorality. They think that because Jesus died and paid and gave us grace, that the blood washes us. That means we can be doing this and be getting away. That's the problem. They have so corrupted the message of grace that they think that grace means license. Certain men have crept in and they are spreading this message, and it's called the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Those two doctrines are the burden of God in heaven today. The doctrine of Balaam, the one that leads the church into idolatry, and the doctrine of the Nicolaitan, the one that has legalized immorality in the church. They are the two burden heaven has today. And until they are purged, the church, the entire church, will be useless. And they were busy boasting on prosperity because it's part of the mark of the entire church. We are rich, we're increasing good. And Jesus said, you don't even know that you are wretched, that you are miserable, that you are blind, that you are poor. I recommend to you to come and buy from me. He recommends three things, among which was white remnants, that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. Come and buy righteousness. Come and buy purity. Come and clothe yourself again. Because until white remnant comes, the glory doesn't follow. Certain men have crept in among us. So it's now unpopular to preach about this kind of things lest you lose members. Because people don't want anybody to tell them some of these direct things anymore. Certain men have crept in among us. Brothers and sisters, this thing is in the church. It's in the church. It's in the church. And you know what he said? He said, verse 5, I want to put you in remembrance that though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the five reasons why he destroyed them, you see fornication written in black and white. And he said the day they did that, 23,000 people died in one day. The other thing, so, like challenging authority, rebellion, like what I was reading for you, these people challenge authority, speak against powers. Not even Michael, the archangel, could even bring a written accusation on Lucifer, who is already fallen. How much more people who challenge God ordained authority? This is that age. This is that age. That's why the scripture calls it a perilous time. He said, for though I put you in remembrance that though God saved the people from Egypt, a type of our salvation, he afterward destroyed them that believe not. In verse 6, he said, the angels which kept not their faces stayed. He gives us three examples. The people he brought out from Egypt, he destroyed all of them. Only two people escaped that thing. With the next generation, they entered the promise. It was only Joshua and Caleb. The angels, among the angels again, some angels violated the limit God gave them and began to sleep with human beings. God tied all of them in chain and reserved them for judgment. Apart from that one, the cities of Sodom went after fornication as if it didn't matter. And from there, they began to go after strange flesh, lesbianism and homosexuality. The Bible said they suffered the vengeance of eternal flame. God said this three warning should be standing out there as a warning to the end time people. For another judgment is on the way. And the same sins are back here on earth. By the time you now see bishops publicly being ordained, and the man acknowledges publicly that he's a homosexual, I want you to know that these are not like he's hiding it. He's doing it in the secret. He's not ashamed to say it. And many other bishops supported him. And many other priests supported him. There is a man that wrote the book, a great book, that have changed the lives of many. God's general.
God picked him up as a young man. He's also written a book about visit to heaven. I saw heaven. And God has used him mightily. I've once sat under his meeting, the kind of fire that was coming out of his mouth. He's been a young man. He started this as a young child and has grown as a teenager. And he's now an adult. And last time I was wondering, why would he get married? What is wrong now? He's grown. What is the problem? He was wrong. The thing blew open everywhere. It's not just women now. He has graduated from male immorality to now sodomy. Are sleeping with youth pastors, sleeping with men, sleeping with all that. You would not believe if he had had maybe affair with a lady, a wife, say, yes, this is the time to marry, repent from that and go and get married. You are no more the minister at six. No, he's with men. Listen, my brothers and sisters, the church is being invaded. If you take lightly what I'm telling you, you think it's just one of those messages for whatever. How can you be talking to pastors about this kind of thing? You don't know where you are now. You need to ask God to open your eyes and see what is going on in the realm of the spirit. Locusts are flying all over the earth, stinging people with the venoms of immorality. That will lead to what I'll be sharing with you tomorrow morning about your marriage. If you lose the marriage battle, you have lost all the battle. If you are married, rebuild the altars of your marriage. It is a time you should be close to your wife and to your husband. And we're going to talk about the intimacy in marriage because there are a lot of things that are going on out there. And a lot of the sisters, many of them are ignorant of certain things. And many of the men too are ignorant of certain things. Note these five things. Sexual immorality establishes five different types of covenants. Number one, sex. I want to say sex establishes five different types of covenant. Number one, a covenant between a man and a woman. It creates a soul tie that ties them. That's why even when they have not seen themselves for 6 months, they meet. All the preserved passion that have been storing for you activates. Number two, it establishes a covenant between a man and evil spirits. How it happens is that the violation of the sexual laws of God opens evil spirits to invade people's souls. I want you to know the process of ecstasy that is enjoyed in the course of sex keeps the door of your soul wide open. If it is not within the walls of protection, anything can happen. A man was telling me how he slept with a girl and after that he began to have mental problems. I said, go and check that girl very well. He said, the girl is all right. You know, I met her in church. I said, go and check her well. Take some time. Verify her family. And so he pretended that there was nothing wrong and just came close and found that she has had mental problems twice. They've helped her calm down and that her elder sister has one that is chronic. So what really happened is when they had the exchange, what she had entered him and what he had entered her. Number three, this thing again establishes a covenant, and this is another side of it that makes God mad. It establishes a covenant between the temple of God and the temple of Baal, thereby seeking to unite Christ with demons. The problem with a saint committing immorality is that you are taking Christ with you. Remember that the body is not only for the human spirit, it's for the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The problem with being baptized in the Holy Spirit, having the Holy Spirit living in you and living in immoral sin, is that you are bringing the Holy Spirit into it. That is why I can give you more than 7 scriptures now that talks about this sin. Each time they talk about this sin, you will see the Holy Spirit issue raised. In John chapter 4, when the apostle James was raising the issue, he said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, don't you realize that friendship with the world is what? Enmity. You are declaring war with God. This thing you are doing, you are setting God to fight you. Then he makes a statement. He said,
Do you think that the spirit he put in us lusted for envy for nothing? You provoke God to fight you. Why? You are dragging God into a marriage with demons. This is why he said, when Solomon did that, God vowed, I will destroy that temple. And that's why in the New Testament he said, anyone defy the temple of God, God will destroy him. He didn't say just punish him. He said destroy. That's why immorality always goes with violence. It always goes with it. It might start as immorality, but it ends up leading to other things like blush, other things, other violent things that ends up taking life. If you notice, the sin of the family of David was immorality, but he ended up with a lot of things about blood. When Amnon started with his sister, he ended up taking his life and ended up taking Absalom's life. When David moved in, he ended up taking another man's life and ended up bringing blood more on his. Because you can't tell which spirit you collect when you open up your soul. The lady you are sleeping with may have slept with an Alhaji that is a ritual murder. And she had just collected all these baggages from Alhaji. And then she now sits in church. Because she got born again last week, she came for counseling. Where has she come from? She's been a prostitute. She slept with all kinds of people. She collected spirits of armed robbery, all kinds of things. You sleep with her. Next thing, you are stealing church money. It's not an issue. You are robbing people in the name of the Lord. In the name that you were a preacher. You don't know where how you ended up where you are. Next thing, it was young girls. Adultery is not an issue anymore. Marry people. He seeks to establish covenants between the temple of God and the temple of Baal. And trying to mingle Christ with demons. And that's when it gets to that level. God will either seek to destroy his temple or withdraw. That same tries to establish a covenant between the Holy Spirit who lives in us and evil spirits. When the Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You don't have to marry them to be yoked with them. All you have to do is sleep with them. For what concord has light and darkness? For what agreement has the temple of God and the temple of Baal? This is why Paul cried out in 1 Corinthians chapter. He said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Shall I then take the member of Christ and make it a member of a harlot? For don't you understand that the Bible said that the two who gets involved in this shall become one flesh. He binds them. God warned them in the Old Testament. He said, you see these daughters of the land and these men worshipping all these different gods. The day you go into them and make covenant with them or start marrying their daughters and their sons. But he mentioned two things. Everywhere you read it, take note of these two words. First, he said, the day you go into them, they give you their daughters, you marry or you marry their sons. The other thing he mentioned is you make covenant with them. He was talking about sex. The day you start sleeping with them. Because a Jewish man will not go and say, let's make covenant. He won't do that one. Let's go and worship. He will not do it. But like the Midianite woman, when he went in and brought those women on Moab, Balaam has advised Barak that you try to curse them. You cannot curse them because they are blessed. There is something covering them. But this is what you would do. Send in these your women. Because the moment they sleep, they've caught covenant. And the law said, the moment you caught covenant with them, that power of deliverance that enables you to dominate them will lift. And I will no more drive them from before you. That's why the church is this weak today. That's why if you read Isaiah chapter 4, Isaiah chapter 4 is talking about purity coming back to the church. And then their usual glory and the anointing and the presence of God that will come with it. But he said when that day come, the church puts her house back in order. He said everyone you see from the church will be so glorious that seven women will say, let's pay our bill. Let's eat our food. You know, I know the other application of it. That we are in the age of looseness and immorality where a young man from UNM used to be a prayer coordinator for student Christian movement. I heard now he's living with 6 different women and has explained to them that that's God's will from beginning. That in the beginning, this is how God planned it. That you can have as many. And all these girls are born again, fellowship girls, and he's living with them. And all of them are willing to be his wife without paying dowry on anyone's head. And so, you know, before you would think, if you are sleeping with this one and sleeping with this one, jealousy will cause them to fight. No, the 6 are happy to be there and just be sleeping with it. Just when it's my turn, allow me to have my turn. And when you are ready, you can go and see my father. But even if you don't see, we are already here. That is part of what that scripture is talking about. That the age we are living is that age. But there's another thing he's talking about, which is actually the main thing in the context. That when the church purifies herself, and the glory comes upon the church, Isaiah said, Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. He says, 7 women, we said, we take care of all the problem. Let us just be called by your name. That is how unbelievers will want to identify. The ones who don't want to hear God at all will clear completely, because they will know these ones, there is a difference between us and them. That glory will set a mark, a distinction between the ones that belong to God and the ones that don't. In these last days, as things get darker and darker, it is these ones who will pay the price of consecration that will shine forth as light in the midst of this dark and crooked age. Bow down your heads. I'm not through with this at all. Mm-mm. I'm responding to your infirmity because I can see your ear getting full. I'm not through with it at all. But see what you're going to deal with today. Number one, freedom from this begins with repentance, because deliverance is not possible until there is repentance. But deliverance from sexual sin cannot be guaranteed only by repentance. Repentance tries to settle your problem with God. It has not settled your problem with soul tie. Because this is a unique sin. Every other sin a man commits is outside the body. The one that is committing immorality is sinning against the body. There is something unique about it. He is tying himself up with cords with so many people. Some of you is just one person. But how many people that one person has slept with? Your problem now is that you are carrying baggages. You are dragging loads and weights. Things that you didn't used to do now coming on you like anointing. Because by that one counter, you collected baggages. Lying. All kinds of baggages can be collected from sex. All kinds of demonic baggages can be collected. It's not just sperm that is deposited. It's the physical one. All kinds of things are deposited. A lot of people, their womb is so polluted that Christ can't impregnate them. But meanwhile, when they came to Christ, they came as just virgin. Paul said, I was trying to protect you. I might preserve you as a just virgin to Christ. But now he begins to say in the verse following, but beware lest as Satan beguiled Eve, your mind will be beguiled from the simplicity that is in Christ. The first is repentance. But the second is, you have to address the covenants, the bonds you got yourself into. You have to address and break all of those different bonds. Without it, the cycle will continue. The third is, you have to address the entities. These things bring entities into people. Don't fool yourself thinking that evil spirits can't enter your soul. They may not be able to possess you, because the day they do that, you are finished finally. But they can oppress you. They can enter your soul. Don't assume that ministers can be demonized. You have to. That's where, beyond repentance and renunciation of those covenants and breaking of them, then you have to wage war on all those spirits. This place will be turned into a giant altar for slaying the flesh this morning. We have to wage war against the different spirits of pollution. Some is their own, is in the mind. The romance they've had with pornography has so polluted their mind. Some people have polluted their mind, polluted their emotion, polluted their flesh, polluted their heart. Some people, they polluted their mind so much. We feel the
you can't look at the opposite sex normally. See how we are describing foundational problem, ancestral thing. This one is for Susu family. You just say, connect yourself to ancient problems that you don't even understand. Collect problems that a young girl was sleeping with her father. And this thing has happened for many years, according to her. And then her father divorces her mother and marries, and her mother marries another man. And her mother didn't know that she started sleeping with her new husband again. And she was sleeping with her own father and was sleeping with her mother's new husband all at the same time. He said, the man will say, let me go and get Chichi from school, you know, you go to school. And the wife would think, you know, hey, I'm so blessed with the husband I like my daughter. God, thank you. He didn't know what was going on. So she gives her life to Christ, and the thing continues for years. And one day she got bold to confess, and she comes to talk to us. You know the amazing thing? She said, another bro in church saw her and collected her and started sleeping with her. So she's sleeping with her two fathers plus her father in the Lord, the bro that is looking after her in Christ. And now that young bro in Christ, when you see her, she's losing her mind. She sees creatures. Because her own level of spiritual husband is that they come physically, make love to her. Sometimes they possess sperm. There are people whose own spiritual husband come physically, make physical love to her, to them, and after finish, deposit sperm there. One woman, he destroyed her marriage because the man thought, one man came in to touch her and saw all kinds of things and said, where did this, is that what you've been doing? Meanwhile, she has not seen any man, but she has been seeing somebody. And now this guy goes and enters covenant with this girl with all the problems. You can imagine how many demons involved in that incest. And then with this, her aggressive spirit husband. Let me give you a word. You can check it out in your dictionary. You will see it. It's in all the dictionaries. There are two demons. One is called incubus. The other is called succubus. They're your dictionary. And they are defined as vicious sexual spirits that molest and torment susceptible individuals. Some call them spirit wife and spirit husband. Incubus are sexual spirits that attack females and sleep with them, sometimes awake, sometimes asleep. Succubus are sexual spirits that attack males. Incubus come from Latin word meaning to lie upon. So incubus are evil male spirits. They lie upon women in their sleep and have intercourse with them. Go to your dictionary and check what I'm saying. Succubus come from the Latin word meaning to lie under. They are female evil spirits. Of course, there is no gender, but this is the way they assume. That lie at night under men and have sexual relationship with them. And there are about 12 major reasons why evil spirits do this. One of them is to pollute the human race. One of them is to pollute the Church of Jesus Christ. One of them is to neutralize the power of the saints. So when God pours oil in the vessel, succubus leak it out. And do you know what they do? Because some of them are very vicious. If a lady has one of them, a relationship with one of them in the spirit, they will fight every man that comes your direction to marry you. Many pretty people you see that are not getting married, this is what is responsible for it. Many of what you call barrenness, this is what is causing it. And it's very simple. If you want to check from family to, you can trace your family and check if your mother is having such things. And you know the possibilities that are there. But if your father and mother, such things don't exist in your family life, then is it possible that you have opened yourself up to some of this? But do you know one of the purposes for these spirits invading the human race is to encourage promiscuity and immorality? The same girl, and when she wants to get married, these things will fight every man that is coming. Let her want to sleep around, there is no problem.
They are not jealous when you sleep around. They are only jealous when it's marriage. Because you are married to them.
And let them have dominion.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is advancement
because
of the kingdom.
Because faith must be backed by
the assignment of this ministry is found from that verse.
You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogbeli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavenlies.
You cut covenant with them, you want to cut with another man, they don't want to hear that. But just sleep with anybody you like, no problem. The purpose is to pollute the human race. They so polluted it in Genesis that God looked, he couldn't see one pure person. It was just Noah that found grace in the sight of God. And God destroyed millions of people and saved only one man and his family. You think he can't do it again in Sodom? He destroyed everybody and saved only one man and his two daughters and his wife. And he wiped out 3 million people in the wilderness and saved only two men and the next generation. I mean, 3 million people came out of Egypt, only two entered. Millions of people on earth, only Noah and his family, 8 people. Millions of people in Sodom and Gomorrah, only one man, Lot, and his two daughters. You think God is frightened by the number of people? All you need to do is study the history of the church and see the level of giants these things have brought down. And you wonder, how can God allow that man with all that anointing, with all that fame, with all the money, to go like that? You will see that God doesn't. He destroyed Solomon's temple, called the book, and he said, burn down this temple. I give you the permission. Jeremiah was prophesying, telling the king of Israel, surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. God anointed him to come and do this job. He's a demon that he represents, but he said, God sent him. Bring this temple down. It has been defied to the limits. New Testament, they call it being handed over to the devil. And a church doesn't have to do it because the head of the church does it. So why people are virgins? If the opening is in their life, through their parents or other, what the spirit does, they come and sleep with them. They start polluting their mind. They know that whatever you think, you keep conceiving in your mind, today will be tomorrow's action. It's just a matter of time. That's all they need to do. So you have not seen blue films. Who invented blue films? Who invented homosexuality? These are the spirits that did it. They're the ones who taught the world all of these things. So, you may not have seen any movie on that. You may not have done anything like that. They come and show it to you in the night. And keep your mind watching something and keep you experiencing it. You wake up, you have not done anything. And, you know, the person wakes up with guilt and filth and feels terrible and goes through all those whatever and thinks that the time the person is about to fly up again, things are about to take off in the things of God, they come again and keep weakening the individual. Plus the seeds that are depositing in the mind, the seeds of fantasies and all kinds of imagination. Then finally a time, the same devil creates the opportunity. The guy gives. Then covenant is established. If you don't think we need to preach holiness in this last hour, you don't understand where you are. You don't understand where the church is at this time. America now, God is calling that nation back to himself, using different voices of nature, of different things. You think that we are better than them, but God has a purpose for Nigeria, and he told me something. He showed me certain things. He said, these are the things sitting on the potential of the church. But the day the daughters of Zion will throw off these bonds, the giant that God has been looking for that will shake up this end time will be born again. We are going to see the second coming of the church. And I'm convinced in my spirit that it will begin here this today. I don't know, but if you are like me and your heart cries for a walk with God that is not defied or spotted by anything worldly, anything of this earth, anything of the enemy, so that you'll be able to say, the prince of this world cometh, but has nothing in me. This is the time, this is the moment. You're not only going to repent of this, you're going to
break such covenants and you're going to come against such spirits. And at the end of it, you're going to ask God to rebuild all the broken walls. Because there are walls that gives you personal discipline and self-control. So some people, the walls have gone down so much that they are so loose in their spirit. The Bible said, a man who has no control over his spirit is like a city without walls. All the broken walls of your emotion, in your sensuality, in your loins, they be built back so that you can hold the anointing of the Holy Spirit. When God pours into you, He stays. I want us to go back on our knees. Whatever position you want to take, whatever way you want to go to God on this issue, ask God finally for the restoration of your virginity, for the restoration of the glory of your virginity. We're going to pray now. But Emeka, get ready, and Pastor Sarah, get ready. We're going to lead the church into some prayers. As the Holy Spirit leads you to respond to this, you do. Look at verse 10 of Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit or a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me, because this thing and the Holy Spirit are connected, because it's about the temple. David was crying after he had slept with Bathsheba. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your right spirit. Then I will teach the transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, and my tongue we sing aloud of your righteousness. Some people, their own blood guilt is not like David, who killed the man's husband, the woman's husband. Some, it is abortion. But others, it is the problem of the speaking blood because of the covenants they got themselves into. Because when you cut covenants, that blood keeps calling your name. It keeps calling you. The lady can travel in another state, but there will be season it will start calling you, because the blood speaks. The blood speaks. There are some things about the blood. The blood binds two lives together in covenant. Then the blood speaks. You cut covenant with a girl, but you won't go ahead and marry her. Then after a while, you leave her and jive in another way. That blood keeps calling you. There are a lot of things that go on here. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, and I will sing aloud of your praise and of your righteousness. Isaiah 52. That's where we're going to pray from, and part of what I've just read. I think we're going to stand up on our feet now, because that's where we're going to close. Isaiah 52. But Emeka, you can come when I finish reading this. Whatever way the Holy Spirit leads you to address this. Awake, awake. And every time you see these two words, it's a call to prayer. Whenever you see these two words addressed to the church, is a call to prayer. The way Isaiah said it, he said, arise and shine. The church won't rise until we start praying and start going back to consecration. Awake, awake. Pray, pray. Wake up, wake up. Put on your strength, because that's the first thing sin takes away, the power of the church. Put on your strength, O Zion. Secondly, he said, put on your beautiful garment, that is holiness. O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Verse 2, he said, shake yourself from the dust and arise. For wherever this thing has humiliated you or brought you down, pick yourself up. Then he says, sit down, O Jerusalem. This part has to do with taking account. Because sometimes there are some things that we need to... You know, for example, I saw some people repenting in tongues. You don't repent in tongues. You can pray in tongues for that, but you cannot do repentance in tongues. Neither can you do renunciation in tongues. Sit down, O Jerusalem. He said, loose yourself from the bonds of your neck. In other words, there is personal deliverance. You don't need anybody to come and cast anything or start shaking your head.
There are laws. If you apply these laws were listed, you will be free. There is no power that will hold you back. If the repentance is genuine and you renounce the covenants and break them, then you can tell whatever spirits that have taken advantage of all this to leave. He will not stay. Lose yourself for the bounds of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus said the Lord, you sold yourself for nothing. Sold yourself to the enemy for nothing. Therefore, you shall be redeemed without money. You don't need to pay anything to come out, because Jesus has paid all the price. Can I hear somebody say amen? The next line said, for thus said the Lord God, my people went down at first into Egypt to dwell there. So the one you did as unbelievers is addressing it. He said, then the Assyrians oppressed them without any reason. Now, therefore, what have I here? What is the one going on now, said the Lord, that my people are taken away again for nothing? So we are not talking about what happened as unbelievers. We are talking about the one happening now in the church in Zion. Those who rule over them, make them well, said the Lord, and my name is blasphemed continually every day. Therefore, my people shall know my name, and therefore they shall know in that day that I am he who speaks. For behold, it is I. This part of the secret for waging this war and coming out with victory is getting a fresh revelation of the name of Jesus. When you tell the devil, this is my house, this is God's house, leave, you are not permitted. It's by omission or commission that Satan gained access. It's by permission, some form of permission given to him in some ways, either through sin or by willful invitation. Then when you tell him, this house is now consecrated back to God. It's consecrated to the Lord. You see, Solomon and the kings of Israel who have gone into that temple and destroyed all the idols, repented of all the things that happened, cleansed that temple, restored the holy things, and God wouldn't have destroyed it. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good news. Watch this. I want you to know what makes the feet of this particular preacher beautiful. Who proclaims peace? Who brings glad tidings of good things? Who proclaims salvation? Notice the things this man preaches. Who says to Zion, what? Your God reign. In other words, God can deliver you from any form of bondage. I said the power of the Holy Spirit can set you free from this. If we talk about all this and then not know that there is deliverance for me, then we have done injustice to the truth. There is redemption from any kind of bondage. There is freedom even from sexual addictions. Can I hear somebody say amen? And after you get your deliverance, remember verse 11. Read verse 11 with me together. 1, 2, go. Depart, depart. Go out from there. Touch not the unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Be clean, you who bear the vessel of the Lord. From now, not only that, break every unholy alliance. You know all the contact points. Throw away pornography, the magazines, the dirty things that you filtrate your mind with, contacts and such unholy relationship that is the cause of your problem, annul them. This scripture is what Paul was quoting in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 when he said, touch not the unclean thing, come out from among them, and I will receive you, and you shall be a daughter unto me, and I will be a father unto you. Sanctification is not possible without separation. There are things we must be separated from so that we can be consecrated unto God.
This issue is a very, very serious problem. Because when you look at Revelation, the church in Thyatira, one of the things the Lord Jesus said he has against that church, he said that church allowed that woman Jezebel to teach and to beguile the servants of God. Commit, you know, move them into sexual immorality. Now, the problem there was that because we allow, we did not resist. Like Pastor has been saying, at a point it's like it becomes a problem to talk about these things in church. We don't even preach it. Things that we abhor, before, suddenly becomes the fashion of the day. We allow. That is where we form alliance with these things. The seriousness of this matter is not something that we can treat on a surface level. I'd like us again to go before the Lord in repentance. As priests, as kings to rule, as priests to bring forth the entire church. Our voice here represents the voice of the church. We have set apart these days to seek the face of the Lord. And God has brought this issue very strong this day. So let's come before. Where have we allowed? How have we allowed the Spirit to creep into the church? Weaken the church. Pastor said we don't repent in tongues. We say this thing intelligently. Let's bring before God, Lord, this is what we've done. As a church, as your body, as priests who are supposed to resist, Lord, to deliver, to speak for your mind, we have allowed this woman, Jezebel, this spirit, to creep in, my Father. Yes, Lord God. Lord, we come before you again this afternoon, Father. We have seen the place of permission. Lord, the place of commission. Lord, you said the reason what you have against this church is because they allow, they form alliance. But Father, today we have come. Lord, as a church, you have revealed, you have unveiled our iniquities. Lord, the searchlights of your word, you have been into our secret places, our God. Lord, remember there was a time, Lord, a few months ago, when a brother came out and began to repent, confess of the sins of immorality that he had been involved in. Lord, how that thing ravaged that assembly. Lord, it was just 2 months ago. By the time he came out, Lord, many in that congregation, both women and men, they began to cry. Lord, you brought healing to that congregation. Lord, in Lagos, it's not about 3 months now, just not more than 3 months. Father, because that was a major problem. Again, in this place, you have highlighted this issue. Father, we have come. We ask, oh God, that you have mercy. Lord, you have mercy. We ask, without your mercy, Lord, there is no way we can be delivered from this yoke. Lord, it has been an entanglement. It has short-circuited your anointing. Lord, it has beclouded our vision. It has corrupted, Lord, your grace. Father, we cannot see. To descend the unholy from the unholy becomes impossible, becomes difficult, our Lord. Lord, we now have a language that said it doesn't matter. What God is looking is the inside. It doesn't matter. But Lord, what of the things? Why can't we concern with the things that matters? Why are we majoring on the things that don't matter? Father, this afternoon we have come again. Holy Spirit of conviction. If you had not brought this out, we would not have known the seriousness, the depth, because of what you want to do in this season. Lord, we have come again, taking our place as a body, as a church, taking our place as a priest. We are asking, oh God, that you have mercy. David said, take not your Holy Spirit away from us. Lord, if you withdraw your Spirit, we are finished. What are we without the Holy Ghost? Lord, we can do nothing. We can't stand your presence. We can't even challenge the enemy without your Spirit. Lord, we come again this afternoon, acknowledging our sins of immorality. Lord, sexual perversion. Lord, that have ravaged your body, that have weakened the strength of the church. Lord, that have beclouded our vision, our God. Lord, that have brought blindness. Lord, restore our sight. You counsel us to buy eyesight. You counsel us to be refined, our God. Lord, where is the fuller soap to wash us clean? Lord, where is the fuller soap to wash us clean? We need that cleansing. We need that cleansing, our Lord. Father, we cannot hide. We cannot hide from you. We cannot conceal this matter. Because you know the depth, even the ones that we don't know. Lord, thou knowest. Thou hast the key to deliver us from this iniquity, from this bondage, our God. You are saying, awake, awake, Zion. Put on strength. Put on strength. Lord, we have acknowledged and we are asking our God that you strengthen us to overcome. You strengthen us to overcome. Lord, most of these things, we don't have an answer to it. We have repented severally, but Lord, repentance alone cannot set us free in this matter. Lord, because we have sold ourselves without money. Lord, we have sold our birthright without money. But this day you have calling us, you have called us to come and buy back without money. We are come here, Lord, to buy back that which we have sold. Our birthright. Lord, our birthright. Our identity, our Father God. Lord, without money. Father, we come before your throne of grace this hour. We are asking for a restoration of purity. A restoration of purity, our God. Lord, a restoration of purity. Lord, when you visit with your mercy, we cannot remain where we are. Therefore, today we ask, O God, that your mercy will come upon us afresh. Lord, your mercy, our God, will come upon us afresh, O God of heaven. My Father, your mercy. Lord, we cry for your mercy. We cry for your mercy, our God. Lord, do not consume us in this matter. Lord, you talk about the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. Lord, to burn the impurities in our midst, our God. Lord, to judge the wicked ways that we have aligned with the spirit. Father, we declare that this afternoon, O God, we have come to the place where we lay bare our iniquity before you. We have come to the place where we ask, oh God, that you will clothe us again with the garments of righteousness, with the garments of purity, with the garments of holiness, our God. Father, we ask that you begin to change. Lord, let that coals of fire be put in our tongue again. Lord, where we can declare that this is wrong. Lord, where we can boldly declare that this is ungodly. Where we can boldly say, Lord, we are the purchased of the blood. By the blood of Jesus, we have been redeemed from iniquity. Lord, you are calling us to separate ourselves. You are calling us to come apart, to set ourselves apart from this thing, our God. Lord, as a church, we have come to identify with you. Lord, as a church, we have come to declare that indeed we are ready to become a voice for you in the nation. Lord, as a church, we have come to declare that indeed we have erred, but we have come to the place of acknowledging our iniquities. We have come to the place, our God, of forming an alliance with you to become the vessel of righteousness, to become that vessel that will declare that indeed, O God, in our times, we will call the spare, where we say, Lord, this is the vessel that you have redeemed. Lord, we have come to stand with you. Oh Lord, we have come to stand with you. We have come in place of agreement, our God. Lord, we know that without you, we can't be out of this mess. We have come to acknowledge our limitations, oh God. Lord, we have come to acknowledge our limitations. Lord, this issue is not only where we practically, Lord, get involved in it, but the area of our mind. You said when we look with the intention to lust, Lord, we have already been involved in it. Lord, we ask our God mental liberation, mental deliverance. Lord, the area of mind, said our God, where our mind has been raveled, where our mind has been polluted, where our mind has been overtaken by this force. Lord, this thing begins with a mental picture. This thing begins with the thought. Lord, this thing begins with thought. As this thought begins to grow and nurture, eventually it incubates and translates into action. Father, we surrender our minds to you. Holy Spirit, you are the only one that can set us free. Lord, most of us, we try to deal with them. We try to resist them, but God, we cannot. Therefore, Lord, we have become a captive. But today, Lord, you have decided, oh God, that we should arise and put on strength. We should arise and put on strength. Lord, we have come to put on that strength. Lord, we have come to put on that strength because there is a way out of this. Lord, in you we can have a way out of it. We have come to identify with you. We have come to take that which you have prescribed for us. Lord, even as you have declared in Isaiah 52, our God, Lord, we have come to declare, oh God, that we are willing right now. Lord, we are willing to put on strength. We are willing from that new vessel. We are willing, our God, Lord, so that indeed we can once again become the habitation, the temple where you will inhabit, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, our God, we ask that you do a work in us. A work, Lord, you promised and said, I will do a work and cut it short in righteousness. Lord, in these few days, our God, do that work and cut it short in righteousness. Lord, do that work and cut it short in righteousness. Father, we surrender to you, our God, oh Father. Lord, we surrender to you, oh God. We surrender to you. We receive that strength. We receive that strength in the name of Jesus. Now, one thing we are going to do as we have come before the Lord, acknowledging our weaknesses in this matter and receiving his strength. In that scripture, he said, thou shalt be saved. He gave us an assurance of absolute salvation in this matter. We are not helpless. We are only helpless when we refuse to identify with God's conviction. When we refuse to identify with what the Lord had said. But now we have chosen to stand with the Lord. Some of these things, like Pastor have rightly revealed to us by the revelation of the Word of God, these things are covenants. And covenants are legal matters. Covenants are spiritual written evidences and documents. Now we are going to stand in the gap to break those things, to tear those. You remember God permitted Moses to write a certificate of divorce. As a church, we are going to write certificate of divorce. Whatever marriage we have been involved in as a result of this covenant, we are taking a new stand right now as a church, as a body. We are taking a new stand. We are taking a new stand. We have a new husband in the Lord. The Bible says we have been betrothed to this man called Jesus. We are the bride of the Lamb. There is no other marriage covenant that is permitted to stay, except that which we have with the Lamb. Right now, we are going to stand on our feet as we declare this covenant. We are going to stand on our feet to terminate that document. God permitted Moses to write the certificates of divorce. Now we are going to write the certificate of divorce. Whatever marriage covenant we have established as a result of this, you know, this relationship, this hour we have taken a new stand. Now we are going to declare. You will pray. You pray. I'm only giving us a direction. Whatever agreements that is existing that have been the legal ground for the enemy to afflict the church, to afflict you as an individual, to afflict the church as a body in this manner, today we are going to that those divorce, we are going to write those certificates. We are presenting them with that document. Let's begin to pray. You don't pray in tongues, you begin to declare those things. Yes, Lord. Lord, today as a church, Lord, we have come to declare that marriage certificate that we have given, Lord, that has kept us bound. The Bible said, as long as one of the party dies, you said that marriage comes to an end. The man that entered into that agreement is dead. We have acknowledged that that man is dead. Therefore, whatever certificate, whatever covenant, this afternoon we have declared, we destroy those agreements. The ones that are registered in the waters, we destroy them. The ones they have registered in the heavens, we destroy them. Everywhere they have taken those documents, presented them as an evidence, the right to afflict the church, the right to afflict me, the right to afflict us, we declare those documents destroyed. We declare those covenants broken. We burn them with the fire of God. You cannot afflict us again. We have a new covenant. We declare that Christ has been made. We are the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. No two documents is permitted to stay. We can't have two marriage documents at a time. We cannot have two marriage certificates. I, in the natural, we only have one marriage certificate. In the spiritual, we are only permitted to have one marriage certificate. Maso player, yes, I declare, our marriage certificate with the Lamb will lift it up. Our marriage certificate with Jesus, with the Lamb of God, Maso player. Yes, that is what we represent. That is what we wave in the spirit. You cannot afflict us any longer. You cannot afflict us any longer. That legal ground we gave you, we declare today, you cannot afflict us any longer. We destroy them. We tear them. We burn them. We burn them with the fire of the Holy Ghost. We declare that the spirit of burning will burn those certificates, those legal documents, those evidences in the spirit, we destroy them. Maso prekalaya. Yes, we declare them null and void. 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 We lift up our marriage certificate. Let's lift up our Bibles. In this Bible is recorded our marriage covenant certificate with the Lamb. We are going to wave this Bible in the realm of the Spirit. We are going to declare that this is our right. This is our marriage certificate. We don't have any other marriage certificate. Yes, our God. Lord, we wave this thing in the realm of the spirit. You spirits of darkness, this is our marriage certificate. And this book contains our marriage certificate. We have no covenant with you any longer. The day we entered into this certificate, our God in heaven declared that this is an eternal certificate. It is an everlasting certificate. Therefore, no certificate of marriage has the power to nullify this. This is a marriage certificate. Lasso prekaya. We call you for spirit of darkness. We call you for spirit of darkness. Yes, this spirit of immorality. Mama Kalebo, this is a marriage certificate. This is our marriage certificate. The ones operating from the waters. Hear ye the word of the Lord. This is our marriage certificate. And we hold on to this. We hold on to this. It is an eternal covenant. No other marriage covenant is permitted. Mama Kalia, we are in marriage by covenants. When we join with the Lord, we become one flesh with Him. Hallelujah, we become one flesh with Him. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now finally, I'll read this scripture in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. This is when the Lord was explaining the seven churches. Let's take it from verse 20. Nevertheless, now let's go back to 19. 19 said, I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first, so they were doing well. He commended them that your present work is even better than when you started, which in most cases is the otherwise. But yet, look at what he said. Nevertheless, I have few things against you. After all the commendations, there was still something he had against them. He said, because you allowed that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to beguile my servants to commit what? Sexual immorality. And to eat things sacrificed to idols. Verse 21. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and the heart, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. We have repented, but there's still a place for God to judge they that refuse to repent. He said, by the time I finish, then they will know that I am the one that searches the heart and the mind. So we are going to ask God, the Lord, remember that scripture, Pastor, it talks about the spirit of judgment and burning. Because this company that refuses to repent will do what? Will also bring a cloud of darkness over the church again. God knows those who have made up their mind not to repent. Can you believe that there was a pastor that said, somebody was preaching to him. He said, look, let me tell you, I've made up my mind to go to hell. Honestly speaking, the day that the rabbi shared this thing with us, he said, I have made up my mind. You think it's ordinary? It is an attack from hell. So this issue, look at how God brought it again. It's a serious issue. God said, I will now judge. I give you time to repent if you don't find. Those that say they will not repent in this matter, their life is tied to it, let God arise. Let God arise. His name is at stake. That is it. His name is at stake. His purpose is at stake. So we are going to pray from this scripture. Moses said, who are those that are on the Lord's side? Let them come over. Lord, he said, I know those that are mine and knows how to do what? Deliver them. Notice those that are mine. Why was he making that distinction? He knows that they were those who were there, but they were not his. And their target is his eternal purpose. So we are going to ask the Lord from this scripture, Lord, this is what you said. We have repented. We have identified with this. and repented on behalf of the church. But the company that says, no way, as long as I'm here, I must accomplish this purpose. Father, rise up, Lord. Rise up and judge them. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, my Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, according to your word. Lord, this is what you said. It is you that said it. Lord, we have agreed with you. We have chosen the path of repentance. We have chosen the path of repentance. Brokenness for the hearts. But Lord, you said you know those that are yours and you know how to deliver them. Lord, the company that have declared, that made up their mind, Lord, to bring reproach to your name, to bring a cloud and resist your purpose, arise our Lord. Lord, arise my Father God. Lord, your purpose, this is why you left heaven. Why you suffered shame. Why you allowed ordinary men you created to despise you, to crucify you, to spot at you, then naked you. Lord, you became a public spectacle to accomplish this. And Lord, men said, well, as long as they live, they will not walk in line with that. Lord, you said you will come. You will come and curse them. You will come and judge them. Father, the hour has come. Come with the spirit of burning, our God. With the spirit of judgment. Lord, come and make that distinction. That segregation so that your purpose can advance. Yes, Lord Jesus. Lord, we are asking you to come. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality. You will know. Indeed, I will cast her into sick bed. Ah, yes, Lord. Lord, cast them into sick bed. Lord, cast them into sick bed, our Lord. Lord, my Father God, so that your name will be glorified. So that the church will know that you are he that searches the mind and the hearts. Yes, our Father God. We give you praise, my Lord God. In Jesus' name.
I'm going to pray.
Glory, glory. Hallelujah. One more thing. Our children, I want us to pray for them for one more issue. That the covenant of purity that we're entering with God today and the attendant anointing of the Holy Spirit that comes with it will rest upon our children. Anyone that has had any negative impartation already in their life, that same fire will push them today, wherever they are right now. That these spirits of pollution, these spirits of immorality, first seek to attack our relationship with God. We have dealt with that. They seek to pollute the church. The second area where they are very interested in is marriages. If you have noticed, if you see a woman that is being affected by these strange forces in the realm of the spirit, they move her against her husband if she is married. She has problem with her marriage. When they come to attack the man, the usual thing they do is they drown out the love he has for his wife. Of course, I remember someone like Pastor Young Cho saying how he woke up one midnight and sat at the bed and was looking at his wife and wondering, oh God, how did I get myself into this mess? And was now imagining some pretty girls out there. That's what they do. They drain out the love you have for your wife and start giving you options. Tunde Bakari was saying it on TV. He was bold saying it. I woke up one day. I was telling God, no. Take this woman away. What is all this? He just found out all the things, his love for his wife, everything dried up. And he was asking God, if not that your word didn't say this, I need a way out. I need some other things. And he was asking God, either you kill her so that I can have. That's what these spirits do. Because those spirits are spirits that are against marriage. They establish contact with people, covenant. They don't want any relationship that will stay. But they want pollutions. Then also, this spirit seek to pollute God, to pollute godly seeds. So, by polluting the parents, they can pollute the children. Because the offsprings of the righteous are set apart in sanctification. God has a hold on their destiny. The seed of the righteous shall be mighty upon the earth. Out there in the field, in life, where the enemy and the Lord God Almighty meet in the battlefield, what counts is who is on whose side. But the battle is a battle over the souls of men. And when God is seeking for godly marriages to stand right, part of the reason is that he might have a godly seed. It becomes easier. The children come out with the right foundation. It becomes easier for God to deal with them. You're going to stand up to pray this prayer. Married or married, you lay hands on your loins. You are carrying four generations. Both the ones you have given birth to and the ones that are still inside, you are bringing them into a covenant. That covenant that ties you on Christ, that marriage, you're bringing them into it. It's also a covenant of sanctification, because in marriage, you come out for your father's house. You leave other men alone. Then you sanctify yourself to your husband. That's what we read today. That's what the scripture we're led to pray with today. That you've been exposed to one husband. So you can be exposed to him as a chaste virgin, and that is Christ. Hold your loins. Like Abraham, Lord, we bring not only ourselves, our wives, our marriages, but our children into the covenant of sanctification, into the covenant of purity. For there cannot be marriage without sanctification. When we take wives, the women are to come out from their house, just like the men. They are to leave every other man in order to be united to their husband. That is separation and sanctification. You said the man shall leave father and mother and cleave to his wife. Just like we've consecrated ourselves to you today. All the offsprings in our loins, both the ones we have given birth to and the ones that are still inside, all that are going to be our descendants. You said that the blessing of God comes upon the righteous to 1,000 generations of them that fear him. We bring them even to 1,000 generations into covenant with Jehovah. We sanctify our loins. We sanctify our vessels. We send us fresh to you today for fresh visitation and impartation of your spirit. The kind of anointing that will enable us to carry out this end time assignment. You said on that day, you will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion a pillar of fire and cloud by day, a pillar of cloud by night. We receive that fire baptism today. We receive the spirit of judgment in our being. We receive the spirit of burning into our being. We receive the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit. Every deposit, everything that has been deposited in our hearts, in our emotions, in our minds, in our bodies, as a result of these pollutions, whether it's mental or physical, whatever shape, let it be consumed by the fire of God today.
In the name of Jesus Christ, every yoke, let it give way right now. In the name of Jesus Christ.
He said the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Let that same fire travel through our loins, pierce our children, male and female, from every form of defilement. In the name of Jesus. They will grow up in their youth, the young men. The young ladies will grow up as polished pillars after the similitude of their palace. We'll be giving our daughters in marriage as virgins. We'll be giving our sons in marriage as virgins.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
let the glory of Israel be restored. Let the strength of Zion be restored. That everyone will leave this camp with a flaming fire on their head, with cloven tongues of fire, with active power of the Holy Ghost functioning in their lives. Lift up your hands and give the Holy Spirit a fresh invitation into your life. Have your way in your temple. Have your way in your house. This is your house. Fill it up again with your glory. Use it to demonstrate your glory in these last days. Use me to demonstrate your praise and your glory in this last hour. Keep this church by the power of God. Keep us by the power of God. That everyone here will live experiences sexual purity. The broken down walls rebuilt. That we all will know how to carry our vessels in sanctification. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for judging Jezebel in this house. Let that anointing of Jehu follow us as we live. That everywhere Jezebel is enthroned, we will bring it down.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
That the body of Christ be inflamed with a new fire of holiness. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be to your name. Just give him praise, give him glory. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. For more information on ministry materials, special programs and services, please contact Dominion City, plot 11/13, Jumat Olukoya Street, off Ogudu Road, Ojota, Lagos, Nigeria, or call 01-792-6379, 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900. God bless you.